Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
A viral meltdown. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town.
The next 27 minutes are an experiment. But in order for it to work, you have to pay attention.
Do you want to go back to 2012?
I love 2012. I was on a Main Stage Herald team in iOS.
Yeah.
I was flying high and the world wasn't crumbling.
Yeah, the world didn't end.
Yeah, it didn't end.
But it did see it's really its first true viral video.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at the time the most viral of videos.
Yeah.
And it was part of kind of like a social awareness. And it was mm-hmm. that happens a lot more now.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's sometimes more in blog or think pieces. But as far as viral videos, you have to share this.
Mm-hmm.
Now everyone's like, share this.
Sure.
But back then, it really, it was the thing.
Yeah, it was. Definitely. I feel like there were a lot of like GIFs and memes before this, but this is like sketch thing, you know, like stuff like
sure,
that.
Funny,
but this was a big, like, political, like, heavy hitting. Like, you'd be talking about it everywhere. Everyone's like, have you seen this?
And what we're talking about is Coney 2012.
Oh, yeah.
Which is interesting because the Coney part is the guy, the mm-hmm. horrible guy. It's kind of used to bring attention to and to try to find justice.
Mm-hmm.
And the virality of it came with a lot of controversy,
yeah,
criticism,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of all ends up in a meltdown. So this is kind of like, it's not a two-parter, but there's two parts to this, really.
Yeah.
So just to remind you mm-hmm. of Coney 2012, because now everything's, I feel like that sounds like, oh, is Coney running for president? Did he run for president in 2012?
Or it's like, is Coney a gorilla that we killed?
Yeah.
Like, what
happened? No, no, no. In 2012, mm-hmm. three American men, also known from the small prophet, The Invisible Children,
mm-hmm.
which was founded in 2004, launched a campaign to make Ugandan warlord Joseph Kony
mm-hmm.
the most infamous person in the world. He was a leader of the LRA, which is a Lord's Resistance Army, decades-old guerrilla group. And Kony had been indicted by the International Criminal Court for war crimes. Barbaric. Horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Kidnapping sex slaves, you know, turning children into child soldiers.
Yeah, everything that could be done that is bad.
And that's been going on for quite some time.
Yeah.
The campaign launched March 5th, 2012. It was called Coney 2012,
mm-hmm.
almost like a little documentary.
Yeah.
And it racked up more than 100 million views within 6 days, making it, at the time, the most watched viral video.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, Gangnam Style came out and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of things had come out and surpassed that. But mm-hmm. at the time, and this is let's watch this fun thing to.
Yeah. I also want to remind people, too, that this is kind of before Instagram. This is kind of, I mean, obviously, like, TikTok, obviously Vine. Like, this is the sort of thing where people were sharing videos via YouTube. It was not like that was such a huge thing versus
Facebook
now.
Facebook,
like,
and YouTube were really kind of. Because I remember personally being like, I'm always like, you know, and I was like, I didn't say, hey, this is a scam, this is wrong. But there was something mm-hmm. in me was like, what is this? Is it about this? I didn't know. I could have been very, it's easy to say after the fact, like, I knew mm-hmm. it was dubious.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if it was dubious, but there was something about it where I think maybe it was because so many people were very, oh, you do your part. And I was just like, do my part about what are you talking about?
How do I fit in to this? Yeah.
And so just to be fair, there, in a way, some of this is a success, and in some ways this is a failure, in some ways this is a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
And it, you know, nonprofits and where the money goes mm-hmm. is not new.
No.
I mean, for about Live Aid, if you want to go back to 1985, Wyclef Jean's has a whole kind of conspiracy. Swindle did a great, I think it's only on their Patreon, but about where the money actually mm-hmm. goes, where it goes to the Red Cross or any of these things. And, you know, fortunately, now that you can, there's some rating systems where maybe some of these nonprofits go, and depending on how you feel about where the money goes.
Yeah, they can be put to task more, and it can be a little more itemized and a little more transparent. But this video, Kony 2012 is a great showcase of the disconnect between popularity and action.
I actually learned a word mm-hmm. that I'll get to that is... I mean, I don't know if it's the word or whatever, and it's not like essentially like, oh, I just learned this word, but mm-hmm. it's interesting word that was used. But the aim was to raise money and awareness on Kony's crimes, mm-hmm. and it was a success. The Invisible Children collected $5 million in the first 2 days. Oprah gave $2 million. Bill Gates tweeted mm-hmm. the hashtag was huge.
Yeah.
Hashtag Kony 2012. Hashtag
yeah, absolutely.
2012. So Twitter and obviously mm-hmm. and really anywhere. Rihanna shared the video. Now, the Ugandan conflict continues, and despite U.S. involvement, that was happening long before Invisible Children made its video. Mm-hmm. Again, like, so this it's not like hey, nobody's doing anything about it. I mean, it's a long standing bat. You know what I mean? Like how mm-hmm. much intervention happens. So it's not, but. Oh, I mean, a lot of people didn't know about it. And mm-hmm. in fairness, they were aware of it and they brought attention to it. And I think people thought, oh, they're going to get this guy. But that mm-hmm. wasn't necessarily – they did want him brought to justice and awareness. But I think the way it was sort of presented, and I think a lot of the criticisms, it was presented as a very oversimplification of what is happening. Mm-hmm. This guy bad, doing this must stop him. Mm-hmm. And the way it was presented, there's just other layers and other things that have happened that are – omitted maybe because they just, I mean, you make a viral video, you gotta take out a lot of those
things.
Also,
like, the power is in making something black and white and making something simple to digest. It's not in the complexities, the systemic, you know, horrible things that are happening in the, there's so much more to our world than that, but, like, it's not as effective if you showcase all those things.
Yeah. Today's episode is sponsored by Best Fiends. Best Fiends is a puzzle game that you can play right on your phone, and you're already on your phone. I know you are. And it's really cool because you go through all these levels solving challenging puzzles that actually engage your brain because it's casual and it is fun.
I am on level 46 right now. It is truly addictive. And I say that as someone who's trying to stay off my phone, but I cannot sometimes. If you have 5 minutes, if you have, 30 seconds just to kind of idly play, it really kind of like settles your mind, kind of gets you focused, and it is a really fun game.
I am almost on level 100. My wife is almost on 400. I know what she's doing when she's not paying attention to me, which makes sense because unlike me, it is a unique and exciting puzzle experience unlike other puzzle games out there. Best Fiends updates the game monthly with new levels in advance so it never gets old. And what I love is it does not require internet to play, which means there's no excuses for me not to get my Best Fiends on. Best Fiends is also the perfect break when I'm editing this podcast and get sick of hearing my own voice. Engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters. Trust me, with over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends. Talk about Kony 2012. It's never like, oh, remember that thing that really kind of paved the way for social activism online? You mm-hmm. think like, well, we're going to get to what things it's known for. Joseph Kony is still, they never caught him.
No.
But I think his power has dwindled down. I think he maybe only has like 50 to 100 people like in mm-hmm. his little army. So I think he's been mostly in some kind of hiding or regime change, et cetera.
Yeah.
And the Invisible Children were always relatively upfront that its main goal was awareness, not the capture and prosecution of Kony. But, mm-hmm.
but like,
that's
again,
the messaging, though. There's like the messaging's a little bit like it's never like, hey, listen, we're not going to catch this guy. We just want you to know about it. That doesn't work.
But like, what is that like? What is that for ultimately? You know,
what if it's clicktivism?
Clicktivism. Buzzword. Hello, everyone. Turn your attention to this new word, clicktivism.
Yes.
Which is just clunky. It's clunky.
Yes. Adam Branch, a professor of international politics and author of Displacing Human Rights, War and Intervention in Northern Uganda. He had wrote the film overlooked the complicity of the Ugandan government, which is kind of omitted that Uganda's actual government. It wasn't just this guerrilla-style offshoot thing, that the government was also culpable, and the dangers of further militarizing the region.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. So he says, what is wrong with Kony 2012's approach? The warmongering, the narcissism, the commercialization, the reductive and one-sided story they tell, their portrayal of Africans as helpless children in need of rescue by white Americans.
Mm, also different wrote, kind of colonialism.
As a result of Invisible Children's irresponsible advocacy, civilians in Uganda and Central Africa may have to pay a steep price in their own lives so that a lot of young Americans can feel good about themselves and a few can make good money. So it's like, what is the price for
it's
you
like
to
Inception.
Feel?
It's like Inception. It's like exploiting, you know, it's like raising awareness, trying to do good, but you're doing exploitative work, really.
It's, you know, sometimes when you do things and you, and listen, nobody's really altruistic in the sense, like, listen, I like when I donate money, it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not just like I feel nothing except
yeah,
somebody
else's
benefit.
Of feeling good about doing good.
But it's this thing where it's like, well, I shared this thing, and like, it's really sometimes things are really benefiting you more than, and this is why I don't really post on Facebook. Because yeah. I don't, making things about me is like, I don't love doing it.
Yeah.
I probably do. I mean, I do it in a sense, but I try to minimalize that just because of, again, it's because I feel crappy about it.
Yeah.
It's not even because I want to be a better person. It's just like, I don't like the way it makes me feel.
Like, this stuff is under any activity online is under such scrutiny because of things like this. And I think because of lots of different actions that we take that we are disconnected from and their outcomes, and we're like, really what they mean. So yeah, like every time I post, every time something is like, oh, I should whatever, it's like, it's another kind of thought process about like, is this worthwhile? Like, is this annoying? Like, is this doing anything? What is the ultimate aim of sharing this?
I hate when I say go to patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
You do.
To get bonus episodes and early releases that are ad free. You think I love doing that?
No.
You think I get a joy?
I think you lose sleep over the money that's rolling in via our Patreon. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think you do. It's very tough.
But we've mentioned before we are going to be doing this podcast live somewhere in this country. That's already said and done. We're just waiting to get what we're actually going to be doing there before we mention it. But it helps. And we put stuff on there. And, you know, it
helps.
Yeah,
if there's anything like, I mean, again, I think we get this opportunity with the Friday episodes to delve into a different part of the ghost town vernacular.
Yeah.
And this is like such an example. Any other things like Kony 2012 that you think that we should know about on our Raider of the Lost Ark?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. I just had a stroke. Send it our way. Instagram, email,
whatever.
I
have a list of really great stuff.
Yeah.
Our ghost town mayors have sent in some stuff that I've looked into.
We're receptive. We are open.
And thank you.
Our hearts are open.
Please rate and review 5 stars wherever you're listening. It really helps. We sometimes take a beating in them and it's very helpful. And we just want to be very transparent about that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want some transparency on where the cool five mil went for Kony. Where does our cool 5 mil go? We're not telling you anything.
No, nothing. Well, till the day I die, I will take that to my grave. It's treasure. It's buried. There's a map somewhere in downtown Hollywood.
20% is spent on management expenses and overhead. 1.7 million was spent on travel. 3.8 million was used for the film.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a total of like a total amount over time. Not just 5 million was just in the first.
Yeah.
They didn't just get 5 million. That was just like initial,
yeah.
And 3.8 million were used for the film advocacy is spreading the message, marketing, I'm sure. And 3.3 went to programs in Central Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Great,
yeah.
How much of it actually gets there? If you remember what happened with Live Aid,
yeah,
some of it, not all of it got there. Now, this is where things come to a boil, a meltdown about the kind of the founder.
Mm-hmm.
So, what makes kind of the end of this story interesting is the meltdown of its kind of figurehead, Jason Russell. On Thursday, March 15th, 2012, very right in the throes of this, at 11:30 a.m., San Diego police officers responded to a call to check the welfare of a male at the intersection of Ingram and Riviera Drive in the neighborhood of Pacific Beach. I still live in San Diego. Okay. PB, baby. Okay. Any San Diego people
good
out
fish
there?
Tacos? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, it's great. Sun, fun.
Yeah.
I remember being there when I first moved from California, from New York to California. I was like, it's Thanksgiving and there's girls wearing bikinis. I was like, this is pretty cool.
It's a Katy Perry song.
Yeah.
California Girls.
And it's about me.
That's the only song. It's about you. Yeah. You
love I was melting up everyone's popsicle.
Bikinis up top. Yep.
Jason Russell? Not so much. Several calls reported the male was wearing only underwear and running into the street.
Mm-hmm.
Another caller reported that the male had removed his underwear and was nude, perhaps masturbating, but that was not confirmed.
Mm.
The callers reported the underwear-clad male was in the street, interfering with traffic, screaming, yelling incoherently, and pounding his fist on the sidewalk. Several people in the area tried to calm him down, but he's continued to act bizarre and irrational. On one scene, officers contacted the male, identified only as a 33-year-old white male. I know you love what your white males.
Yeah, 33, a little old for me, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
29, that's a sweet spot.
Well, he's even older now. Determined through their personal observations as well as reports citizens that his bizarre and irrational behavior would be most appropriately be handled by transporting him to a local medical facility for further evaluation and treatment. Other people in San Diego and PB, maybe just get thrown in the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the clink. I don't know.
Maybe they took a little expert care with this one.
I wasn't in control of my mind or my body, Russell told NBC's Today Show. In a separate interview with Oprah Winfrey, Russell said that it was due to extreme exhaustion, stress, and dehydration.
Mm. Drink that water.
Now, other people have claimed that he was, bath salts, whatever, drugs, who knows? But, I mean, listen, a lot of people are exhausted, stressed, and dehydrated.
Yeah.
And if they all ran into the street, perhaps masturbating.
We would have emptied all of Los Angeles.
Yes. So I think it might be a little bit more. I mean, yes, there's probably is the stress, but all is your kind of ego and your mental state kind of clashing with each other.
Multiple.
Is there a guilt of getting the money and where? I don't know what happens and I can't speak to that.
Yeah.
But to be like, listen, the dude was just stressed. Anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
If I was there out there, I was like, I didn't have my bottled water. Leave me alone.
They'd be
like,
exactly.
Okay. Would not happen. Right. They'd be like, what is your, mental state? Were you on drugs? And listen.
Yeah.
I mean, PB is really nice. And I don't want to compare it to Venice because Venice is a little, Venice is beautiful as well. But Ocean Beach, OB is a little more maybe like Venice. But, Pacific Beach, there's some characters there.
Yeah, yeah.
So who knows what was going on there. But listen, love PB, love Ocean Beach, love Venice. And I don't disparage California. I don't like
Jason's
to do that.
He's a real California boy.
Yeah.
So
just not born
or
bred.
On the streets, it's a street that he loves.
Yes. Looking back at Kona 2012, and they're still, Invisible Children still doing their thing. And, I don't want to say this is a fail because they scammed anybody or whatever. I can't speak. Who knows? Who knows what goes on with the IRS and numbers? And it is, things cost money, and I understand that.
It feels like a cumulative fail on the part of many, many people to not understand or to not go the distance or to not do due diligence for these things that hopefully we've learned from. But probably not.
If we've learned anything, and we haven't.
We haven't.
We definitely haven't. That's all right.